to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to Deep Space High, a sci-fi TV podcast where we discuss today's hot sci-fi shows. I'm Steven. Co-hosting with me is Chris. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you, brother?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Yeah. I mean,
we're just going day to day.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting at home all day watching sci-fi shows. I mean, how much worse can it get?
For real, right? Well, I still have to work from home, so.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that's a Debbie Downer, but it is what it is. Still getting paid. So I know that's better than what a lot of people are going through right now.
Believe me, I would love to have a job right now.
And there's 22 million people with you.
Yeah. Yep. But at least we're going to be getting back into reopening the country. The President Trump announced that today. So something to look forward to.
By the time this drops, I imagine it'll start kind of opening up a little bit since we're recording this roughly around a month before we drop, so we'll see how it is.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, did you ever actually look up any of that information from the Picard movie from that we talked about last time? Because, you know, you decided to not read the article. You just looked at the headline.
Yeah, I read the headline, and I was like, maybe I should have read it. But, yeah, this is from We Got This Covered, Star Trek Picard movie reportedly in early development. I'm not familiar with the site, so kind of take everything with a grain of salt, but reading through this, from what it seems like, is that this source believes that CBS and Paramount are working on a Picard movie. It doesn't go into detail if this is just going to debut. I imagine it's going to debut on CBS All Access instead of in the theaters, but I was reading that it was going to bring the cast that you see at the end of the season from Picard and just kind of have a movie on that.
No, I heard that they were going to do something like a crossover with Picard and Discovery. Like they might try to do something like that. Is that kind of what you were hearing about the movie, that that's what it's going to be, or could it be something else?
There's not a lot of details on that. It just seems like they're working. They're probably just throwing out some scripts and seeing what they can, what they like, and if they're going to greenlight this film.
Interesting.
So I also saw another thing right before we started recording that Rosario Dawson, who plays in the Marvel Netflix series, she's the night nurse. She wants to play one of the Q.
For which one?
For this movie.
Oh, no. What Marvel show is she from?
She's from the Daredevil Punisher. She's the night nurse.
The night nurse. I'm trying to remember who that is. I've seen the Punisher.
She's the nurse. She's in Luke Cage, Jessica Jones. She's the nurse that all the heroes go to when they're hurt.
She's the one who got recently casted on The Mandalorian.
Yes, as Ahsoka. And then she's like, "Oh, I would like to play a Q in one of these shows. That would be cool."
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that's another article where I just saw the headline.
I don't know. I would kind of like to see Q come back. But there was multiple Qs. Well, there was two or three.
Well, you saw, there was like a Q and then a half Q.
Well, there was a couple, because Voyager, they introduced a couple more Qs. Because in Voyager, so they had a Q who was trapped in an asteroid because he tried to kill himself. And then Q from, the Next Generation that everybody knows about, he went on trial with him in the opposition, saying that he can't kill himself, that it's never happened before. And then he made the argument, well, we've lived forever. Like, we've always existed. There's nothing to do. We've already done everything that can be done and experienced everything that can be experienced. Honestly, he wanted to die. And they ended up having like a trial on the ship on whether or not they would let him do it or not. And it was interesting. And then it started a Q Civil War. So that was interesting.
Yeah, but I think it'd be interesting to see her as another Q in one of these pop up in Discovery or Picard. I think that would be a nice twist of fate.
I heard something that CBS was actually, they lost a lot of money because of the quarantine, and they might sell the Star Trek or the rights to Star Trek.
I did see something like that, that they're strapped for cash, and you might see that it being sold. I don't
who would buy it.
It's not only who would buy it. I mean, I would just find it hard to believe. I know everyone's kind of strapped for cash right now, business wise. So
yeah, that's kind of my point. Like, who would buy it? Like, everybody's struggling right now, and I don't think you can get a potential buyer if you try and sell it.
Yeah, probably not.
So,
but that's, we'll see. I don't think they'll sell it. I think maybe there's talks, maybe seeing what studios might bite.
Who knows? Maybe Disney will buy it.
Oh gosh, Disney needs to buy, stop buying stuff.
We spent the first 5 minutes of this not even talking about the episode, so let's get to it.
Engage.
What did we watch today?
Today we're going over episode 4, and it's called Absolute Candor. This one's directed by longtime Star Trek alum Jonathan Frakes.
He's a very good actor too, or he's a very good actor, but he's also a very good director. And I think, yes. I don't think people understand like how many of the Star Trek shows that he directed.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and it seems like he directed at least 5 or 6 from each series.
Yeah. I think he also did the series finale of Star Trek Enterprise too.
But yeah, this one's, I think that this episode and the next episode is directed by Jonathan Frakes, and I think I definitely like this episode.
It was a good episode. I mean, it had a little bit of action that you like. It did a really good job at developing the storyline, and it was just mm-hmm. It was honestly, I thought some of it was pretty funny actually.
Yeah it was.
I like some of the humor. They're starting to get a little bit more humorous into it.
Yeah, and I noticed it seems like each episode starting off in the past. They're each starting off roughly 14 to 15 years. It's doing a flashback for the first couple minutes of the episode, and then it jumps to present day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. I hadn't really noticed that.
And it's done that. With the exception of episode 1, which started with a dream, they've each flashback ever since. The 2, 3, and 4 are flashbacked.
Yeah, because, well, this one, they kind of explained where Picard was when he found out that Mars had been attacked by the synthetics. And he was on He was on a planet. What was the name of the planet?
I think they called it Vashi.
Vashi. Yeah, it was a kind of a refugee. It was a refugee planet where they were moving Romulans onto this planet. And then they intended to find a permanent planet or a permanent settlement, right, that they were going to move into. But then after the sins, they kind of abandoned the project and they were stuck there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting kind of seeing, like, well, one of the things that they did was the Vulcan, the nun, mm-hmm. like, she didn't age at all from the flashback to when he comes back 15 years later.
And they make a joke about that later in the episode when he comes back.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but it kind of makes sense, though. I mean, Romulans lived for 200 years, so 15 years to him is like nothing.
Yeah.
It's not like humans.
Yeah, versus humans, that it seems like their average lifespan's between 90 and 100.
Well, again,
the 24th century.
Well, no, in the 24th century, it's longer than that. It's closer to like 100 to 120. Hmm. Because if you remember, Leonard McCoy was actually on the very first episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, and he was 149 years old, I think. Like, that's how that's the age.
Okay. You're talking about Dr. McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Leonard McCoy. So he came on to kind of like on the very first episode as kind of like a throwback, saying that he was still alive. Dr. McCoy was still alive in the timeline. He was like 149 years old. So they can live for a long time, humans.
Thanks to all the advances in technology and
medical.
Now you could have artificial hearts and all this fun stuff 200 years from now.
Yeah, that was one of the things that confused me with the Star Trek timeline. Like, when Picard got stabbed through the heart, like, how did he not die instantly? How did he have the opportunity to laugh, look down and laugh, because he just got impaled through the heart? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, medical miracles of the 24th century. Yeah. Maybe he did die for a little bit, but they were able to put a new heart in and revive him.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what they said, that if he wasn't, like, right next to a medical facility, he would have died.
Yeah.
But I just figured you would die. If you got impaled through the heart, I figured you would just die instantly. Like, you're not going to be able to look down and laugh.
Yeah, well, you would think, but...
All right, anyways, back to the episode. So...
Yes.
So why does Picard insist on going to this planet?
Well, that's, It's pretty apparent towards the end of the episode that he needs help, and he's going to this this warrior nun, this Romulan warrior nun group that's called, I don't even know how they say it.
I know, the Romulan's very, it's kind of a tough language. Yeah.
Quatminlahal? I don't know.
I don't know either. I couldn't tell you. But yeah.
It's funny what... It's been a couple days since I've watched this episode, and I said it like three times watching it, hoping we would record that night, but we didn't.
Sorry.
So now I'm like, well, I don't remember.
Well, I mean,
how it's pronounced.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, with the quarantine, you know, we're kind of stuck at home. We just binge watched the entire MCU in like a week, which, yeah, you know, 23 movies. That's a lot of movies to watch in little time.
Yeah. But yeah, he wants to go and recruit someone from this these warrior nuns to help him in his cause in finding Soji and kind of unraveling this mystery that they have going with her origin and how she was created and everything.
But they kind of set up a storyline with the flashback in the very beginning of the episode, you know, where they meet a kid. I like how of a sarcastic asshole Picard was to the nuns. We're like, oh, you guys don't keep your promises. Well, I promised to bring you this food if last time I saw you, but since you obviously promises aren't important to you guys, I guess I'll just take this back home and enjoy it myself. And then they're like, oh, wait, no.
And
no.
She's like, bitch, please, you better hand that shit over now.
I know, right?
Before I slice what's left of your dong off.
Gosh.
So how I imagine.
You know, Picard's what, 90 something years old? He should know better to try to withhold food from women. Like, it just does not go well. Like, you give them their damn food.
Withhold food from anyone who's a food lover.
Yeah, that's true. But mostly women. The way to a woman's heart is through food.
Yeah.
So.
Or a big dick, whichever works.
Yeah, well. Anyways.
But yeah, they do set up, you know, that he kind of has a relationship with this kid and that the kid kind of looks up to Picard, and they're trying to find him a home because this warrior nunnery doesn't really train and look after boys. They're, you know, it's an all-female warrior group.
Mm-hmm.
But come to find out that because of what happened with the sins on Mars, Picard was never able to go back and help relocate the kid. So he ends up training as a nun, but he can't, or not training as a warrior, but can't formally join because he's male.
Right. And then I mean, why didn't Picard ever go back though? That's kind of what I don't understand. Like, why did the the synthetics, I can't figure out how to call them right. So why did the synthetics attacking Mars prevent him from being able to go back? Like, I get it, he had to resign from the Federation, he was no longer part, but he couldn't get transportation back to the planet and continue to help him on his own.
Well, probably because he couldn't mobilize the resources necessary to do that kind of thing. I mean, without the backing of Starfleet, without the backing of people who have a lot of resources, you're just one man with no ship trying to help thousands of people. That just doesn't, not feasible.
Yeah, but you can't be like, at least get transportation back and be like, hey guys, I mean, I'm not a part of Starfleet anymore. There's not much I can do now, but I'll still try and help out in any way I can. You know, rather than just maybe completely abandoning him for 15 years.
And maybe, I mean, it's not really revealed about, maybe he sent a subspace message and was like, hey, this, you know, circumstances changed. I'm not going to be able to help as much as I'd like. Or, hey, I'm going to do what I can, but no promises.
Yeah. But, well, moving on, but kind of similar to what's going on the planet. Like, did you notice that everybody on that planet had swords?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it's like the Wild West.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 24th century. You got, you know, phasers, and you got disruptors, and like why do you need swords?
Like, that's a good point.
They even mentioned it.
Well, I think there's something about hand-to-hand combat, and you know, the Klingons are very fond of hand-to-hand combat, and they train with the Bat'leth.
Yeah, that's true, but the Romulans never, I don't think, had a sword. In any of the Star Trek series, in any of the movies, this is the first time I've ever seen a Romulan with a sword.
Well, let me throw this out there. Maybe with, because before Picard comes back, for in the present day, he has a discussion with Rios and them, talking about how it's like the Wild West, and you know, there's just, it's kind of a lawless land where it's ran by this group, and there's this another group called the Something Rangers that are trying to police the area, but they're just, you know, they don't have the resources either to do it. So it's kind of an outlawish land. And then I imagine maybe because of that, the disruptors and the phasers, they have limited quantities. So if you're going to settle a dispute, do it with a sword where all you have to do is sharpen it instead of wasting your disruptors and blasters and, well, blasters to Star Wars, but phasers.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that could be why they have swords.
Yeah, it's the wrong sci-fi show there, brother.
Well, no, but, you know, you catch my drift.
Which do you think would be better to have, a phaser or a blaster?
I think they're virtually the same thing.
A little bit different.
Phaser's more compact.
Well, I think if we're staying true to the way that the Star Trek universe has it, it's more like disruptors and blasters are more like, phasers are different than a disruptor.
Well,
because like, okay, so the science behind it is like a disruptor is almost like a pulse of energy, where a phaser is like a beam in pretty much layman's term. So like with the phaser, you have more utility with it. You can, you know, cut stuff, you can you know, melt things, heat things up, or a blaster, it's just kind of an energy pulse.
In that case, I don't know. I'd rather have a lightsaber.
That's fair.
It's cooler.
Do you think a lightsaber could stop a phaser?
I don't know. There's one way to find out. Let's get a crossover going.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, I'd love to see that. I love the, I can't believe I'm actually going to say this. I love the College Humor video where they did like the crossover between Star Trek and Star Wars.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, it's funny. They're basically just like comparing or like yelling at each other on which one's better, Star Trek or Star Wars. And Riker's just walking around trying to put his leg on everybody. Because you know how
yeah, he always does.
Yeah, and it's funny. He's like putting his head, or he's like putting his leg on the Dr. Crusher's head, and she's getting like mad. And it's kind of like a anime cartoon kind of video, and then they distract him the entire time, and then they eventually fire some photon torpedoes to destroy the Death Star. And it's like,
yeah.
And then you see Darth Vader's just flying through space, like, y'all are still gay. Oh, that's funny.
No, I haven't. I might have to go find
it. I'll see if I can find it and send you the link. That's one of my favorite videos.
Okay.
But yeah. All right. So let's get back to this episode. Getting past the planet. Let's start getting back to, it's Soji, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I didn't get him wrong this time. All right. So Soji is still got a fling going on with her little Tal Shiar Romulan boy toy.
Yeah, Narek.
Yes. And then I don't understand what they had one scene to where he was trying to comfort her, and then about a Borg tradition to where you just get your socks on, you just slide down a corridor with like 1980s lighting, like rave lighting or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand kind of what the point of that scene was. Like, do you get what the whole point of that scene was?
No.
Exactly. And then and then she gets really into it, and they start making out, and then she gets mad at him because I guess he doesn't trust her.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the scene, it just didn't make sense. You would have been better off. Why is there random water in this corridor of the cube? They, you know, might have been better off throwing up a slip and slide and just going at it.
I know, right?
Probably would have been more fun.
Yeah. Just go belly first like a penguin sliding across.
Yeah. Get some bowling pins, knock them down.
Hell yeah.
Instead of sliding across. And it looks like, and it maybe it's just because they didn't have a lot of room on set, but they slide like 2 feet.
Yeah, right.
What's the point of that?
I don't know.
Could you imagine a Borg trying to do that as a, I know when he says a ritual, it's a, you know,
it's kind of a
ritual, it's in air quotes, but still, I mean, that's what you find is excitement. And then she gets, well, like, she's hot for it. She's into it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, whatever you're into, I mean, that's the whole point. He's trying to seduce her to, you know, get information out of her.
Yeah. And I think the only thing I see in the scene is right before they start, you know, slip a sliding with their feet, is they're sitting in the cafeteria or the break room or something, and they're talking about how she was on a transport ship. I think it was called the Ellison. Then during the, you know, they have this whole whatever scene, they start making out, she like lets her guard down, and then he drops the bomb. Well, I pulled up the manifest and you weren't on the Ellison that day.
Yeah.
Which pisses her off.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically saying he doesn't trust her.
No, he's like, I'm calling you out on this lie.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not lying. I was there, because she believes she was there.
Yeah. I will admit, though, she's a pretty good actress. Like, you know, when you actually watching the scene where they're making out, she's really into it. Like, she's going all out in the scene.
Yeah.
And I remember when I watched it, I'm thinking, fuck, she's a pretty good actress. We're only 21 years old.
Yeah.
She seems like she really has the hots for the actor.
Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe she does.
Maybe she does. And it's still, I think this is probably my least favorite part of the whole season, is that whole slip and sliding.
It just kind of seems a little unnecessary. Although it would be funny to imagine, like, you have the Borg trying to attack or conquer a planet, and then you get the slip and sliding. They're just slipping and falling everywhere. And
I know.
That would be funny.
We are Borg. We slip and slide. We will assimilate you.
Yeah. Well,
so you can slip and slide.
later in the episode, the sister wakes him up while he was sleeping and is like, "What, were you trying to slip and slide into that vagina, the vibrating vagina?"
I mean, if they actually probably went head first, he might have had a different chance, even if it is accidental.
Yeah. Well, I mean, granted, he's already slipped and slid into that vibrating vagina a couple times, so.
Mm-hmm. And she makes that a lot. She makes that point a lot. Oh, you're trying to have sex. It's like every episode she brings it up.
I know.
I didn't realize how repetitive it was until we just brought it up.
And it was, yeah, I know, right? And then it's weird because, like, in that scene, she was very handsy with him. Like, that's supposed to be her brother. Why are you getting that handsy with your brother?
I know. It was almost like Alabama Romulans.
I guess. And then she's getting real handsy with him while he's sleeping in bed. It's
a little,
like,
creepy.
It is a little.
It's real House of Lannister shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, who knows? Like, as far as we know, for Romulans, like, that could be the norm.
It could be. They could be the House of the Lannisters of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
The galaxy.
I'm surprised that the nuns weren't mad at Picard, though. They were very nice to Picard when Picard got back.
Well, I think they're pretty understanding. You know, there wasn't much he could do. He did everything he could, but in the end, it just wasn't meant to work out.
Right. I guess so. I will admit, I don't remember if it was last episode or the episode before that, how you brought up that CBS has been kind of cutting off the scenes when going to the commercials.
Yeah.
It's been doing that for me a lot more.
Yeah. I don't understand what the hell's up with. I mean, I don't love the CBS All Access app.
I don't either. Like, yeah. I mean, they're literally cutting it off right before the end of the scene.
Yeah, so you know, they're in the middle of very important dialogue, like with, I don't remember the lady, the head nun, I'm going to assume, Picard are talking, and then all of a sudden it cuts her off.
Yeah, and then...
And then it comes back to another 10 seconds where she finishes the conversation, and it's like, can't you get your shit together? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah.
I guess that's what we get for not upgrading to the non-commercial version.
Yeah, we're cheap.
we can't
afford a full version.
The first couple times I watched this episode, when Picard starts talking to Elnor, the male warrior nun who's not really a nun because he can't be,
right?
They start talking about, well, Picard starts pleading his case to, so he could have their assistance, and he starts telling them about Data's stories, and Elnor brings up Spot, Data's cat from TNG.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm pretty sure this is at least the third time I've seen it, or fourth. and I just caught it this time.
Really?
There's some. Yeah, I didn't pick it up the first time. Maybe because I wasn't as familiar with TNG.
Yeah.
Before, you know, when it first premiered, but
I miss Spot. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of liked Spot because Spot was like an asshole to everybody except for like my two favorite characters, Data and Barclay.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cats are assholes in general.
That's true. That's why you go with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things, though, is how after he pleads his case and he says, fuck off, he goes to the store or I guess a restaurant that is for Romulans only, which since apparently only Romulans are on this planet, I don't know why they have a sign saying Romulans only.
Yeah.
But he just like says, fuck the sign, throws it on the ground, stomps on the sign while walking into the shop and tries to, tries to order some food. And everybody's like, fuck off. And they try to kill him.
Yeah. And I like, before he throws the sign down, if you look in the background, there's a Romulan with the old school wardrobe for TNG, you know, the pointy shoulders, the silver looking cloak type attire.
No, I didn't notice that.
Ugh, I don't know how you missed it.
I mean, I noticed there was a guy who was kind of more modern towards the Kelvin timeline that kind of looked more like the like one of the miners on who's the name of the bad guy in the first Star Trek movie? You remember?
Nero.
Nero. Yeah, he looks like he's one of like Nero's what looks like he's working with one of Nero or like works with Nero. Like the way he's dressed and the way that they did his makeup.
I didn't notice that, but I did catch the, it's like someone copied and pasted one of the Romulan characters from TNG into the background. And it's just real subtle. You gotta be looking over Picard's shoulder to catch it.
I guess I just missed it then, but it's interesting how they try to get him to fight. You know, Picard was a big fencer back in TNG. So it's interesting to see that he can still sort of fight, even though he throws down the sword and is like, no, I'm not going to do this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That senator or former Romulan senator was really, he was really pushing Picard's buttons, or at least trying to get him to initiate some sort of fight. Yeah.
Well, you got to think of it from his perspective. Like the guy was a Romulan senator before all this shit. And then, you know, Picard comes in, he promises to help. He promised, like, they got all big ass ships. They were going to come and save the Romulan Empire. And then they just completely abandoned him.
I had the honor of being present the day you addressed the Hall of State, the very embodiment of Starfleet, making such eloquent and generous promises on behalf of the magnanimous Federation. The great Saint Picard.
Senator, I did everything I could.
And then you gave up.
Like, I hate to say it, but I don't entirely blame him for being so pissed. I mean, trying to kill him is one thing, but you could have beat the shit out of him and didn't have to kill him.
Yeah, and I don't think it helped that Picard was kind of the face of the operation, and so that's definitely where they're going to point their anger and blame.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you also see, I can't remember his name.
You talking about Elnor?
Yes, thank you, Elnor. As you can tell, I'm not very good with names. But Elnor, you see him fight for the first time. Dude's pretty fucking badass. That's some pretty damn good choreography right there.
I don't even know. That's not even really fighting. He makes two moves. He kills one guy and then decapitates another guy, the senator.
Yeah, while doing like six flips in the air.
Oh, yeah, that was more ninja-esque.
Yeah.
Pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
He had I wonder how many times he spinned or spun.
I don't know.
He had a spin or spun a lot. But yeah, and I think that's the first kind of decapitation we see in any Star Trek. I mean, at least I know I haven't seen all the franchises, so.
I think it was the first decapitation.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was definitely one that caught me off guard when I first watched it, because I'd never seen that kind of gore in any Star Trek.
Yeah, they're really pushing boundaries with this one. You know, they're swearing a lot more. They're a lot more violent. I mean, if you look at the ratings, it's TVMA.
Yeah, and that's because, you know, they're not bound to
the
restrictions for broadcasting on a channel. So they don't have to adhere to a runtime. They don't have to adhere to, you know, language restrictions or gore restrictions. You know, it's kind of like throwing it on HBO or Showtime. One thing I was surprised, I mean, after they beam back to the ship and Picard gets on to Elnor about decapitating a man, it's like, what do you expect from him? You know what he's trained to do.
Right.
How do you expect anything less? I mean, what do you want him to give him? Oh, damn it. I had a hiccup right in the middle of a chat.
But I get what you're trying to say. Like, the guy is an assassin. He's a ninja nun or wannabe nun. You know, that's what he does. He kills. He even warned him.
Please, my friend. Choose to live.
And he went after him. Like,
I regret your choice.
I guess, you know, he would be just, I think he is justified to kill him.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, there was a brief chance that Picard could have said no killing, just, you know, slice his arms up, kind of give him a, make him have a robot arm like Star Wars and go that route. But, you know, Picard didn't speak up, so he decapitates the guy.
Yeah.
And they do it like an emergency beam off, which was interesting because Picard just says, beam me up or beam up. Beam I don't remember.
I think it was beam us up. I don't remember him saying there was two of them.
Yeah, there was no way to for them to identify Elnor was someone who has to go up with him. Even if he says beam me up, he was surrounded by 30 or 40 other Romulans. How does Yaffe know to beam up the right person?
I don't know. I don't know. That was always a problem with Star Trek. They would say two to beam up, but they didn't specify which two.
I know.
So I guess it's just something that continues with the storyline.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's an oversight that I wish the writers wouldn't make so much.
Yeah.
You know, why can't you say two to beam up me and someone who's 2.6 meters to my left?
It's just too complicated.
Yeah, I guess it is for TV. You know, you just want to say two to beam up and then energize.
Yeah. Let's get towards the end of the show. So this is when we first see Seven of Nine in this episode.
Yeah, and we see her after they have a pretty intense battle with an ancient Romulan warbird.
Yeah, it is ancient. That's I was actually very pleased with that they kind of went old school with the Romulan warbird with the design of it.
Yeah, and they were saying that it's, I don't remember who the outlaw is that's kind of running the sector or that part of that system. But they did say something that he was, you know, he commandeered a ancient bird of prey, a Romulan bird of prey. And that's kind of his ship of choice. They did mention that somewhere in the episode. And then they get into a pretty intense dogfight with them.
Yeah, they do. And then this mysterious ship comes out of nowhere, saves their ass, sort of. And then they manage to save 7 of 9, because apparently the 7 of 9's ship was crashing and they didn't know who it was, but... And then they beam him on right there on the bridge. And then lo and behold, it's 7 of 9.
Yeah. And I find it weird because when they're talking about 7 of 9, before you know it's 7 of 9, they keep referring to her as a him.
Right.
Well, he's an amazing pilot. He's really good. He's really saved our ass. And then I was like, I was kind of thinking to myself, I was like, you know, this is the 24th century. It could be anyone piloting. You have males, females, you have species with no genders, you have...
Well, you got to remember, there's no gender in the Star Trek universe. Like, they call women sir. Like, they would refer to Counselor Troy as sir because there was no gender or defined gender.
That's the thing with rankings, and when you're in a system like that, it's everyone's a sir.
Yeah.
But to, you know, it's not like Picard is talking to an admiral and calling him or her him. It's, you know, he's a really good pilot. It's used in a different context than what you're bringing it up as. It's one thing when you're talking to a superior officer where you're always like, yes sir, no sir, you know.
I mean, I hate to say this, and I know I'm probably gonna people are gonna think I'm sexist, but it's a fair assumption to think that it's probably a sir. Credible pilot, great fighting skills, comes out of nowhere and saves her ass. You don't know who it is, so you make the assumption that, yeah, it's probably a guy. Guys tend to be better pilots. They tend to be really good at fighting. Not saying that a woman can't do it, but statistically speaking, it's probably a man.
But you think, you know, it could go either way in this time period.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then you take into account that it's, you know, there's no real gender, so they do kind of refer to them as sir. If you're a captain of a ship, you still refer to them as a sir because it's their ship. Even though they're not a part of the, you know, if they're not part of Starfleet, they still have a ship. You still refer to them as a sir. So it kind of makes sense that they would kind of refer to them as a he rather than assume it's a woman.
I mean, I guess they could, but it was just, it seemed where I was going with it. They seemed blatantly obvious where they don't want you thinking it's a woman when they're writing it.
So. Oh yeah. That's definitely what they were thinking.
And that's, you know, that's what was going on because they want that surprise. Well, they kept, he's saving our ass. And then next thing you know, 7 of 9 beams aboard.
Right.
And you're like, wait, she's not a he.
Yeah. I hate it when they try to do that. I hate it when they try to be PC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think, you know, not that it's bad dialogue, but I think the right way to go would have been, you know, they're really saving our ass. They, you know, just using they as the pronoun instead of he or she.
So they know that there's only one person on the ship. And then, you know, it's one of those things to where you're in the middle of a battle, which you're probably going to lose. Do you really care about what gender they are? Like, is that really like what you're going to be thinking about? Like, well, what if it's a her? Like, who cares? They're trying to kill us and they're saving our ass. Let's just be grateful that somebody's trying to save our ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd be pretty mad if one of them stopped and they'd be like, oh, maybe it was a her. Like,
no, that's, I mean, and that's not how I want it to go. I'm thinking like if you're going in traffic and someone cuts you off, you'd be like, well, they're a fucking bitch. You know, that can go either way. Or they're an asshole. Or what a fucking asshole. You don't usually say, some people I'm sure always assume one gender or another depending on who cuts you off. But
it's always an Asian female driver, old Asian female driver. Okay.
Not down in Dallas. It's, you know, it's a free for all. It's Mad Max down here some days.
Oh, that's fair. Granted, we do have a high Asian population out here.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just saying, like, if someone's cutting you off in traffic, not everyone's response is going to be, he's a fucking asshole or she's a fucking asshole. Yeah. Could be just like, oh, what a fucking asshole, or this dipshit.
Yeah, but it was the very end of the episode, so you know that they're trying to have like a big, you know, like a big, oh look, it's 7 of 9.
Oh look, what a misdirection. Yeah. It wasn't really a misdirection because you made it so obvious that it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. Granted, she is still freaking gorgeous at like 50-something years old.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how some of these women, like celebrity actresses.
She's doing something right.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. Like Jennifer Aniston's another one. Like, she's in her 50s. She still looks gorgeous. And then you got Shakira's in her 40s. She looks gorgeous. J-Lo. I don't know how the hell they do it.
Probably eating right. You know, good diet and exercise.
It could be. Something we don't do.
Probably good moisturizer and some kind of products to make them look younger.
Yeah. It could be. All right. So what do you think then, brother?
What the hell? Yo, the sign is real simple, B. It says wrap it up.
What is your opinion on the episode? Like, if you were to give it a grade, you know, compared to the last one, what do you think? How did Jonathan Frakes do compared to the other director?
Well, that's two different questions. Frakes is a great director, really good at what he does. He, you know, he has his style down, and I think he's a really good director, but. And I can't say either director did better or worse because they, you know, all four episodes, in my opinion, were directed fairly well. But there's some, especially after watching this a couple of times, there's some problems I have with the writing, with some scenes, like especially the random ass slip and slide scene.
Yeah.
That one bugs me too. So. It doesn't work. And that's not something you can put on Frakes. It's, you know, he's handed a script and he does what he can.
Right.
So I would put that one maybe more on the writers or the executive producers. But overall, I think we got a good story. It was a good background for Elnor, but it was a good background that tied in to the overall arc that they have going this season.
Yeah, I would agree. So I would agree. I mean, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I would agree. I mean, I thought Jonathan Frakes did a really good job, and you know, something that I've never really seen in kind of his other works that I saw a lot in this episode. There was a lot more emotion coming out of from the actors. It kind of seemed more real. It, you know, there was a lot more emotional presence in this episode. That's just something that I noticed, and it's something that I never really noticed with him in his works in the past. So So I just thought that was kind of interesting and something I wanted to point out.
Yeah, and that goes, you know, that's credit to the actors and the director, you know, Frakes directing them on how they need to respond, and then the actors and actresses performing and executing it to a T.
Yeah, and they, so, they're good actors in the show. Like, the actors are, they're very good. I'm very impressed with the acting.
Yeah, top notch. The only, like, the only critiques I have so far the first four episodes are, I think there was some questionable writing choices that I don't think, I mean, I'm not a professional writer, so I know this if I were to write this series, it would be an absolute shit show.
Okay. It's easier to criticize than it is to produce.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to say these are absolute awful writers. I'm just saying, you know, there's choices that I don't think I would have made if I was a writer, but I'm not a writer. I'm an accountant. And there's a reason why I'm an accountant and not a writer.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all right. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of what we're here trying to do. We're trying to criticize. We're trying to give our evaluation, trying to give, you know, an honest opinion on what it is. And it's all right.
Yeah, this is a fan's opinion. This is, neither one of us have gone to film school or, you know, got a major in literature or writing or.
Nor
you know,
we have no. To.
Yeah, we have no creative ability when it comes to, you know, cinema or filmmaking, TV, making TV shows.
Now, being an asshole, we're very creative. That we're good at.
Yeah. Being assholes, making, you know, either crappy jokes or decent jokes that hit every now and then. We can do that all day.
Yep.
But, yeah, we're just coming out of this is two fans' point of view, someone who has absolutely no background, and that's all we're trying to captivate. We're, you know, I know a lot of podcasts, it's people who have experience in this field, and we don't. We're just here as fans, enjoying it, talking about it, giving our opinions.
Shit, I can't remember any of their names. Any of them. I can't remember anybody's names. You know, the only one who I know is Picard, and that's the only one I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, but I think out of the four episodes, this is probably, just because there were some questionable story choices, this is probably, I don't want to say my least favorite, but I think it's tied with the second episode with my least favorite.
It just kind of seems like they're spending a lot of time setting up the background for the storyline.
Yeah, and I feel like episodes 1 through 3 could have been compressed into like maybe 1 hour and 15 minute episode.
Yeah. I mean, they're really taking their time in setting up the storyline. And there's a lot of dialogue and a lot of content that I'm not entirely sure how it relates to the storyline. You know, that kind of seems a little unnecessary.
Yeah, they're feeding us a lot of information that does pay off later. But it's like,
unless it all comes back in like the second season, in which case I'll admit that I was wrong if that's the case. But I mean, just for this season and how they structured this season, they are spending a lot of time setting up this background.
Yeah, and I think one of my biggest critiques was they took a season that what could have been 5 episodes or 6 episodes and stretched it to 10.
Yeah, well, originally I thought this was 6 episodes. I don't know why, but I thought it was a 6-episode season, and I get through 4 episodes and they haven't even gotten anywhere. I'm like, shit, they're really taking their time with the storyline.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was 10 episodes, not 6.
So. Yeah.
Which series is 6? I know there's a series that's 6 episodes. Is it the MCU movie, the MCU shows?
Yeah, those will be 6.
Oh, okay. That's probably where I got it from.
Chris, what do we have in store next time on Deep Space High?
All right. Well, what we have in store is we're going to have a lot more babbling and a lot more conversation that has nothing to do with the episode. But the episode, when we actually do get to it, is Stardust City Rag. It's going to be the 5th episode. And the description is I don't even know how to say it, La Serena? Yeah, La Serena crew. Begin an unpredictable and lively expedition. Jeez, I can't read today either.
You can't read? You can't get people's names?
I know. I'm slacking here. They give a lively expedition on Free Cloud to search for Bruce Maddox. And when they learn that Maddox has found himself in a precarious situation, a familiar face offers her assistance.
Hmm.
Emphasis on the her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently this is when Picard becomes a pirate.
I'm going to... first time I watched this episode, there was, let's just say, I think this will be a fun one talking about next time.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
I don't remember this episode. I saw the trailer and I'm like, God, I must have been really freaking high and missed this episode. Because I see Picard wearing the eye patch. I'm like, what? Did I like just not watch this episode?
Yeah. And, you know, this podcast haven't had as much humor as I would like, mainly because this is a relatively serious show. But I sent some funny shit coming up next week.
I hope so.
And I'm looking forward to watching it. Not really because I remember it being, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this and recording an episode about it.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
That's all I got to say.
Yes. And then just for the record, this episode is rated TVMA for language and violence. So yeah,
I think they all are.
I think they all are too. I'm keep hoping that one of these days there's going to be a S or an N in there for TVMA, but I don't think it's going to happen, particularly in the episode with 7 of 9.
Keep dreaming.
Yeah. Well, a guy can dream.
Yep. Thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode of Deep Space High. Please join us next time as we continue the conversation on Star Trek Picard.
And don't forget to keep the conversation going on Twitter with hashtag Tacos and Trek and hashtag Deep Space High.
And let us know how we're doing by reviewing Deep Space High. And if you love what you're hearing, please feel free to subscribe and share. I'm Master Jedi Steven.
And I'm Chris. And until next time, live long and prosper.